Today we are continuing our study of the Golden Rule as it is given in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. I am sure that most of you are familiar with the words, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." We have talked with you about where the Golden Rule came from. And after eliminating all of the negative approaches to the Golden Rule as far as its source was concerned, we have been talking with you about the fact that the Golden Rule has its roots in the Word of God. Today we want to talk to you about the subjects of the Golden Rule. For whom was the Golden Rule actually intended? But before we do that, let us bow our heads together now and ask God to help us in our study of the Word. Our Father, we are grateful today that we have the opportunity of coming to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing us as we begin to examine once again this precious portion of thy Word. Grant our Father that we might be able to understand it and apply it to our individual hearts and lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Golden Rule, the statement which we have read in your hearing but a few moments ago, would be impossible to observe for an individual. An individual properly indoctrinated, properly oriented in the Scriptures, would please God only if he could obey the Golden Rule. For this is the Word of God. And that brings me, of course, to something that we need to discuss with you today in order that we might put the Golden Rule in its proper perspective. I would like for us to think briefly about the subjects who are governed by the Golden Rule. Now, you have your own households. You have certain rules you expect the members of your household to observe. The rules do not apply to members of your household and apply to everybody else. They apply to the members of your household alone. And if I were to come as a guest in your household, you do not necessarily expect me to obey the same rules. If I am passing by and knock on the door, you don't expect me to abide by the rules in the household. The household rules are for the household. And it is important for us to recognize, if we are to understand this Golden Rule, who actually is subject to the Golden Rule. Now, if I were a guest in your home because I knew what your rules were, I might make every attempt to try to obey them, but I would, as a rule, wind up embarrassing myself or you one, because really, I haven't been living under that household rule. Who is the Golden Rule for? Well, the first thing that I suggest is we think about whom it is not for. And I think we can consider from a negative standpoint by saying in a simple fashion as we possibly can that it is not for unbelievers. The Golden Rule is not intended for the unbeliever. And I would like to say that as forcefully as I can, because down through the years in my ministering to individuals, I have encountered those who have said to me, "Oh, my religion is the Golden Rule. I live by the Golden Rule." Well, as we're going to see, you cannot live by the Golden Rule in an unsaved condition. But more than that, the Golden Rule was never meant as a measure to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Golden Rule was never intended as a rule which, if observed, would guarantee any individual eternal life. I emphasize, the Golden Rule is not for the unbeliever. It would follow then, I think, on the basis of what we have just been saying to you, approaching who the golden rule is for from a negative standpoint, that the golden rule, if it is not for the unbeliever, must be for the believer. The individual born again believer is subject to the golden rule. And there are reasons given, which we will consider with you, of course. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, we have something of importance. In chapter 6 of the Gospel according to Luke, we have Luke's report concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that is very much like the Sermon on the Mount, so much so that some people say that it is the same. However, if you will notice Luke's record, you will discover that if we are going to give it a title, it could be called the Sermon on the Seashore. It was not a sermon that was delivered on a mountaintop. It was a sermon that was delivered by the seashore, in which some of these principles are incorporated. Now, will you notice, please, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. We might say to Luke, why? Why should we as believers obey the golden rule as it is so plainly stated? Why should we as believers be expected to do what someone else refuses to do? Why should we as believers be expected to obey the rule that the rest of the world is not obeying? Well, if Luke could answer to today, he would say, oh, that's the reason. That's the very reason. You who are believers have a greater responsibility. That responsibility is one you cannot neglect. Notice what he said. If ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now, think about those verses. What are you bragging about? If you love the people who love you, sinners do that. As a believer, you have a greater privilege, a greater responsibility. If you are good to people who are good to you, you don't have anything to brag about. Sinners do the same. And they don't know our Lord. We know him. And our lives ought to be different. You're a believer. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You should obey the golden rule. And if you do, then indeed you will be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And notice this statement, your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind and unthankful, and he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. An individual might say, but I know I'm a child of God. Well, you may know it, but other people certainly will have difficulty realizing it by the way you live. If you keep the golden rule as a believer, then indeed, says the Spirit of God, you shall be children of the Highest, because your heavenly Father is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. A sinner may say, I'll give him as good as he sends. But you're a believer. You have no right to say that. A sinner may say, he's getting exactly what he deserves. He asked for it. Well, that's all right for a sinner to say. But notice it's not all right for you to say. You are a believer, and you should be living like your Father in heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. I would suggest to you, friend, that you have a responsibility as a believer to keep the golden rule, even as Christ lived by the golden rule. Now, one last consideration I must lay before you in the few seconds we have remaining, and that is the golden rule demands positive action. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You don't wait to see what someone is going to do to you, and then you do that. You do what you ought to do first. And the grammatical construction of the verse indicates that this is something that never ends. It's a continual committal. It's something that keeps on keeping on.